Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go. We have arrived to a Friday. Welcome into the program. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us today. If you want to chime in on anything that we're talking about, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. Again, that's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or you can leave a comment on the video chat for those of you who are watching on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, and we can address some of those as we go along through the program. We've got a pretty busy show tonight. We are going to be joined by Patrick Daughtry from NBC Sports, covers the NFL. We'll talk with him coming up in about 10 minutes or so. 6:35, we're going to talk with our friend Scott Warman from FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Of course, you also hear him here on KMOX, sometimes hosting this very show. We'll get some audio that we heard from Jim Montgomery, the team practice earlier today, his thoughts on where the team is at after just a really disappointing loss last night. And then our weekly Patrick Mahomes conversation that he does with our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, and host Carrington Harrison. We'll run that tonight at about 7:35. So we've got a lot to get to between now and then. We've talked about it a lot. I will be leaving for Orlando tomorrow. The setup of the winter meetings takes place on Sunday. So we'll get all set up. We'll get all ready to go. And then things begin really earnestly on Monday. Monday and Tuesday are the busiest days that they have, and then Wednesday things start to slow down. You've got the Rule 5 draft and a few other things, but it's a little bit of a slower pace on Wednesdays. Things tear down and everything. And our first edition of the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show will be coming your way a week from yesterday, this Thursday. The first edition of that here on KMOX and, of course, across the Cardinals Radio Network. Mike Claiborne and myself hosting that show on an every week basis. And it's always a lot of fun to be able to do that show with him, and looking forward to another year of doing it. So that's going to start on Thursday, and we'll do that from Orlando. You never know who we might run into, who we might talk to. It's always a good time in Orlando as the entire baseball industry comes together. It's one of my, like, from a personal standpoint, it's one of my favorite things to be able to do every year, because in my, you know, my baseball journey, which has been broadcasting in the minor leagues and then being around with the Brewers and then being around here with the Cardinals, I've met a lot of people. I've created a lot of friendships and things like that. And so many people that have been part of that journey, I get to see once a year. And that one time a year is at the baseball winter meeting. So it's a really cool thing to be able to experience that and see people that you care for that you don't get to see all that often. And I enjoy that. And I enjoy being able to have good conversations that we then provide for you, both there in Sports Open Line next week and also during the Countdown to Opening Day show. We'll be recording stuff and getting that ready to go. There'd been some conversations like internally or behind the scenes about whether or not Heim Bloom was going to be doing the same type of daily media interactions with the media that John Mozeliak did. And we got word today that indeed he would. So it's going to work out really well because it's all tentative. It can certainly change, but Heim is scheduled to meet with the media Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in Orlando at 5:00 Eastern, 4:00 Central. So we'll go do that. We'll have that conversation. And then Rush Hour Sports, it gets going at 5:00. So I'll be coming right out of the conversation with Heim and hopping immediately on for the for Rush Hour Sports. So looking forward to being able to do that and provide for you what was said. And that's one of the things generally, I can't speak for anybody else in the market right now, but generally speaking, every year that I have gone to the winter meetings, we have been the only radio station that has representation at the winter meetings. So if you want to actually hear Heim Bloom and what he has to say, this is going to be the one opportunity, the one place that you're actually going to be able to hear it. And we'll be providing that for you on just about an everyday basis during the run of the meetings. Kevin Wheeler and I were just talking about this as he walked out the door off the air, hoping for at least just one sizable move, at least one from the Cardinals. And I don't, from an industry-wide standpoint, I'm still, I can be talked to either side on if it's going to be a busy winter meetings. In recent year, and last year wasn't terrible, but basically in recent years, it's been really slow. It's been really, really slow. And with the CBA coming up and the probable lockout less than a year away, I don't really know how that is going to impact the pace of the market. I think right now we're seeing that the pace of the market is focused around pitching, where certainly relief pitching. We've seen a lot of top-tier relief pitchers go off the board. We're starting to see some other pitchers, some starters get moved, and you know, that includes Sonny Gray and his trade. But from a position player standpoint, not a whole lot has happened at this point. There was the one trade that was made of notable things that have happened from a notable standpoint. You had the deal that the Mets and the Rangers made, and that certainly was a notable trade with what they were able to do. But for the most part, it has been it has not yet hit the position player spots. And like I don't think Nolan Arenado is getting traded at the baseball winter meetings because there's so many other dominoes that have to fall down first before you can move an Arenado. Basically, Arenado is going to be a second or third option for a good number of teams that come up short with some of the other third basemen that are going to be available either as free agents or in trade. So all those other third basemen are essentially going to have to come off the board. And we played this game last year, right? Like we kept talking about the Bregman situation and waiting for Bregman to get signed to see what might happen with Arenado. And the two things weren't as related as we thought maybe they were, but also Arenado was traded to Houston and then he didn't take that deal. But I don't think Arenado is something that's going to happen in the near future. Maybe I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong, I'll tell you. But the other potential moves, the trading of a Brendan Donovan or a Lars Nootbaar or Nolan Gorman, any of those guys, I think it is a Jojo Romero, Wilson Contreras. I think it is distinctly possible that any one of those guys could get moved over the next few days as the winter meetings are going on. And just from a very selfish standpoint of wanting to have as much content as possible, I am personally hopeful that something does happen. So we've got something to talk about while we are in Orlando. We want to do a little bit more than just twiddling our thumbs over the course of 3-4 days. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk NFL football as we are set to be joined by Patrick Daughtry. He covers the NFL for NBC Sports. He joins us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You are locked to a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Back at it on KMOX. It is the Graybar Sports Open Line. Glad to have you with us. Again, we are going to be broadcasting the show from Orlando starting on Monday for baseball's winter meetings. Right now, we're going to talk a little bit of football. Entertaining game last night on Thursday Night Football with the Lions holding off the Cowboys in a high-scoring game. And then there is just a ton of really meaningful, compelling games that are going to be going on coming up on Sunday. To talk about that and more, we're very happy to welcome in a guy who is an NFL writer for NBC Sports. He's local here to St. Louis. Patrick Daughtry joins us on the program right now. You follow him on Twitter at RotoPat. Pat, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
Truly, always my pleasure. You know, I'm here to talk about the football, and I will be listening very closely next week as you guys talk about, you know, which Cardinals might even remain on the team following the winter meetings, because I'm expecting and hoping for an active week for Heim and company.
Okay, so who we'll get to football in a second. Is there any Cardinal that has been rumored to get moved that you would rather them not move?
Well, so I'm a father now, and this is the first time I've ever had to worry about my kids like being sad or upset that someone has traded away. Like, Brendan Donovan is probably the Cardinals, you know, best trade ship. I'm not breaking any news here. It would upset my son. He has the Brendan Donovan bobblehead. He also has a Lars bobblehead. And, like, it'd be the first time I'm going to have to explain, you know, it's a business. Like, we love the team. But because, you know, me, I don't ever want the Cardinals to have to tear down and rebuild. But I know that they have to do it this time. So I'm like, you know, trade them all. But explaining it to my son will not be as fun as, you know, reading and listening to the analysis of the moves.
That's a real thing. Like, when Albert Pujols left to go to the Angels, there was a lot of tears from young Cardinal fans at that point. That's a real thing.
It is, yeah. You know, I was 25, and I'm thankful I didn't have to have my dad explain that to me at that point, but I almost did, because that one felt personal, too.
I'm sure you cried a little bit.
The Cardinals almost made me cry a few times growing up. I did not cry at Pujols leaving town. The 2004 NLCS, the Cardinals eventually won, may have almost brought me to tears when Jason Isringhausen blew a save in Houston, but that is neither here nor there.
Admittedly, I had a couple Kool-Aids, but I was brought to tears in Game 6 with David Freese.
Yeah, it was the 04 and 05 were that whole era. There were a lot of emotional roller coaster moments there. Okay. Most of them good, but not all of them.
Not all of them. All right, let's jump into this slate of games coming up this week. It is remarkable how many games here in week number 14 have serious playoff implications. It started last night with the Cowboys and the Lions, and then this slate this weekend is really, really good.
It is loaded, and it's the first year, I feel like, since they expanded the playoff field to 14 teams that we're actually going to maybe get some good teams left out, as instead of, you know, forcing some bad teams in, because I can't remember if this is the third or fourth season of the 7-team slate in each conference, but, you know, the seventh seed has really kind of been a sacrificial lamb almost every year. And, you know, that's going to be the case more often than not, but a lot of years, the seventh seed, you know, it's just the talk has kind of been, you know, the NFL did not need to expand this playoff field. And I think you can maybe still credibly argue that, but this year, I mean, the Chiefs could get let out, of course. The Dallas Cowboys, say what you will about the Cowboys, they honestly looked like a playoff team the past 5 or 6 weeks. The Chiefs beat the Texans. The Texans are on the ropes this weekend. And there's just going to be several good teams, not just one or two, I feel like, actually left out of the playoff field. So it's my long way of saying, like, it's exciting, actually, to have these games really, really mean something here in weeks 14 and 15 and down the stretch.
I feel like the Cowboys did this to themselves because it's defense that's let them down. And, oh, yeah, by the way, they kind of let a guy named Micah Parsons walk out the door before the season got started.
They did, and, you know, they tried to shore it up and kind of went a long way towards shoring it up at the trade deadline. The problem is those games before the trade deadline counted. And, you know, even with a good defense, you're going to have games like you go into Ford Field, you know, the Lions Dome, the Fast Track, or you're just going to have a bad night. You're going to allow 40 points. Like, that could happen even to a good defense, a solid defense. The problem is all the games where the Cowboys defense just wasn't competitive because of the lack of personnel, like you said, for the trade deadline. So it's a lot more respectable unit now, but just kind of too little too late and very frustrating. If you watch the Cowboys as a Cowboys fan, I'm not a Cowboys fan, for the record. Do not say on the radio I'm a Cowboys fan. But if you watch the Cowboys as a fan, you have to be feeling very frustrated because the 53 players they have now, that looks like a playoff roster. The problem is that was not the case before the trade deadline.
So when we look at the Chiefs specifically, here they are sitting as a 500 club. There's a good chance that they have to win out to be a playoff club. They're probably going to be favored in every single game from here to the end of the season, especially if they keep winning games. If they lose a couple, then maybe they're not favored against the Broncos late. But if they win and win and win, they'll probably be favored in every game. What do you think the chances are that this team does win out and does sneak into the postseason?
I still put it at over 50%, but this weekend might honestly be the key game because maybe I'm a Missouri homer. I think the Chiefs are probably a better team than the Broncos, but I think the division's just out of reach at this point. So they're going to have to sneak in as the wild card, kind of unthinkable during the Mahomes era. So not only they just need to win out for the raw victory totals, but they got to beat the Texans for the head-to-head tiebreaker. Like this might be the biggest game of the Chiefs season. They could come down to like a win and end game that will technically be bigger, but that it might be because of what happens in this game. To me, this is the critical game remaining on the Chiefs' schedule because the Chargers are just in a really weakened state. And I think it's the Titans. I'm looking at their schedule right now. Then it's the Broncos. That'll be a huge one, of course. Then the Raiders. That'll be a gimme in Week 18. But this one, especially at home, against the team, they're going to be fighting for one of those wild card spots. They have to win this game against the Texans.
Bears and Packers match up this weekend. Bears are 9-3. Packers are 8-3-1. Lions apply a little bit of pressure by winning their eighth game yesterday. You have to wonder if that tie is going to come back to either help or hurt the Packers at some point in time. But that division is just so tough with those top three teams.
It is. And talk about a telling game because I think the Bears are 8-1 over their past nine games. And until last week against the Eagles, so, the first thing a good team does, of course, is beat bad teams. So you can't really take, the easy wins, quote-unquote, away from the Bears. But they didn't really have, a signature win or, even really an impressive win during that streak until going into Philadelphia. The Eagles, of course, having their own issues. That was a really big win for the Bears. So it's good that they got this one big signature win right now, but doing it's the Packers with all the implications, divisional, wild card. This would be the biggest game in recent Bears memory. And I'm fascinated to see how they perform because the Eagles game, that was great. But Caleb Williams still not playing particularly well. They're kind of trying to hide him, still struggling with his accuracy. He's actually, I think, completed under 60% of his passes in five or six straight starts. So the Bears, despite playing very well the past 2 months, I would consider them a team very much on the spot this weekend.
All right, so I might just be an idiot. That can be true very often in my life. But I look at the two games where two teams are matched up against each other with first place on the line in the division, with the Colts and Jaguars, each team is 8-4, and the Steelers and Ravens, each team at 6-6. I don't think either the Colts or Jaguars are any good, and I think both the Steelers and Ravens are good. And they've got it's the Steelers and Ravens who have the worst record between the two. So comment on my take on comparing those two games.
Well, I would say none of the four are aesthetically pleasing as one problem, especially the Jaguars. They're 8-4, but you watch the Jags and it's kind of like, I don't really understand how they keep winning these games, but they do. The Colts were kind of winning with style earlier in the season, but Daniel Jones has kind of regressed to his career mean in terms of turnovers. He's always been kind of a turnover machine, not so much the interceptions, but a really bad fumbler. He's playing through a really significant leg injury. They've been a much tougher watch. And the Ravens are the team of the four that are the most shocking because I'm not surprised the Steelers are a tough watch. But the Ravens, I'm expecting a rock fight between the Ravens and the Steelers, which we get sometimes between those two teams, but if there's a team that's going to open up, it's usually the Ravens. But I think Lamar Jackson is just too hurt. He's three straight starts without a single touchdown for Lamar, which talk about inconceivable for a guy with his dual threat. And I actually think there's a little more juice in that Colts-Jaguars game. But I don't fault anyone for not thinking that, because I think they're probably two better teams at this point, but they're not very fun to watch.
Lamar Jackson has no injury designation after having a full practice on Friday, but it was the first time this year where he always doesn't practice on Wednesday, but he didn't miss practice Wednesday and Thursday this week. You mentioned that he's banged up. It really feels like they're just trying to kind of drag him into these games.
They are, and even before, like, the big injury that actually cost him time was the hamstring. Even before that, I frankly think he was playing hurt, because I think that was the Chiefs game where he got hurt, where I was seeing him tackled from behind by linebackers, which I just quite literally had never seen during Lamar Jackson's career. And I don't know if he just hasn't been right maybe since the summer, or there's been a surgery he's putting off or something. They're giving him like almost a different body part every week. Like, one week they'll say it's his knee. The next it's his ankle. Like I said, it was the hamstring that actually cost him time. But the bottom line is, you know, he just isn't even, not only is he not healthy, he doesn't even appear remotely close to full health. And Lamar is a good passer, but what makes Lamar a special player is the dual threat. And when he doesn't have that dual threat, which he just doesn't appear to have right now, makes him a totally different player, and it just makes the Ravens a completely different team.
Okay, what I'm about to ask you, literally nobody might care about, but you just said something. I look at injury reports on an almost everyday basis for a bunch of teams in the NFL, and I have never seen in my life, and maybe I'm just a prisoner of the moment and it's always been like this, it seems like so many more injured guys are being listed with multiple injuries. Like somebody's, you know, a limited in practice because of a knee and an elbow. Like it in the past, it's always been one thing. This year, there's just a gaggle of guys who are listed with multiple parts on their body that are not right.
I don't think it's the players are any more injured. It's that I think the teams are just trying to be as transparent as possible, like more transparent than ever, because, you know, they don't want a situation like baseball has with Emmanuel Clase and the Guardians, and they don't want it to come out later like, oh, yeah, because it does come out occasionally in the NFL, like, oh, yeah, he needed ankle surgery all year, but it wasn't affecting his practice status, so we didn't list him with the ankle. And, you know, by week 14 of the NFL season, almost every player probably has two or three things that are bothering them. So I don't necessarily think it's the players are any more hurt. I think it's the NFL, you know, trying to stay one step ahead of what might be an inevitable gambling scandal, and just, you know, and maybe lightly encouraging the teams, quote unquote, to be as transparent as possible with these injury listings.
You work in the fantasy space, and that's different than sports gambling, but they're certainly cousins in some ways. What, and we just had sports gambling go live in Missouri here this week. In what you do, how much does that intersect, and what do you see in terms of the influence of sports gambling?
Well, you know, not all of it's great, of course. Some of it does. Some of it has been useful to fantasy football, because it does lend itself to a good tiebreaker always in fantasy football is, what's the game environment going to be like? And maybe 10 years ago, there were people following the spreads very closely. Not maybe, there were, but not nearly as many people. Whereas now, this week, even if someone who does not consider myself a gambler, I do not plan to be placing many bets, even in now legal Missouri, I know the spread for every game. I know the game total for every game. And that's kind of a good shorthand for, like, what kind of game environment is going to be like. Bills Bengals has one of the highest game totals of the entire year. If you're making lineup decisions, you know, use a tiebreaker in favor of getting a Bill in there, getting a Bengal in there. And a lot of it just corresponds, of course, with common sense. Those are two explosive offenses. I would say that's maybe, I'm sure, a lot of negative ways that they're intersecting, but a positive way is just kind of creating like an understandable shorthand, I would say, for the common fans.
Patrick Daugherty, he is on Twitter, at RotoPat, covers the NFL, covers fantasy for NBC Sports. He is a St. Louisan. We love being able to talk to him. Thank you so much for taking the time. I'm sure we'll check in again down the line.
Truly always my pleasure, and yeah, I'll be listening next week for your Cardinals report.
Awesome, very good. I appreciate that. Patrick Daugherty joining us on the program. We appreciate him being with us. We'll take a break. When we return, our good friend Scott Warman is going to join us. We'll talk Blues and Cardinals with him. That's next. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX as we continue to take you throughout the course of this Friday evening. Very happy to welcome back onto the show. He's our good friend Scott Warman. Of course, you hear him sometimes here on KMOX. You see him a lot on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest on the desk for Blues games and Cardinals games. He joins us right now. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right. Let's start by talking about the Blues, and unfortunately...
Oh, man. Thanks a lot.
Yep, that's what we're going to lead with. That's where we're at.
What a shocker.
The exact same things being said after the game last night, questioning the team's energy and effort and things like that. What is it going to take for this team to get past that?
It's amazing. And I hate to kind of maybe bore some people, but we've known each other, 20 some odd years when you were intern at KFNS. And, you know, I did the Rams broadcast pre and post game. And this is when the Rams were starting their downslide after the greatest show on turf. And there was a conversation during one of post games about effort. And this is something I learned doing this for a while. And the next week over at Rams Park, I was kind of being taken to the side to the quote unquote principal's office going, you can't question people's effort. I'm like, okay, well, it was just kind of a conversation. Things don't look good, blah, 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 blah. And I'm hearing this. I'm like, okay, so this is one of the things I'm learning, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you try not to put yourself into a professional athlete's shoes, much less I don't want to put myself into someone else in their profession, because I don't know if you're a, you know, electrician or whatever. I don't know any of that stuff. So with all that being said, you just kind of say, well, you know, things don't look good, what have you. My point of this is when you have your own coach mentioning this for, I don't know, second, third, whatever time, that's really concerning when we're, what, almost 30 games into the season. And learning from that, what I did back with the Rams, and you don't even have to mention it in the postgame show because the coaches mention it, there has to be something, I would hope, internally from a team standpoint, and I'm specifically talking about the players, they have to have what we would call a come to Jesus meeting, as I would say. Something has got to happen here because as I've relayed to other people, because obviously, as you know, Maddie, I'm sure you get this conversation with people you run into around town, just like I do. It's like this team was arguably, if not the best, one of the best teams after the Four Nations tournament. And you're 2.2 seconds away from eliminating one of the best teams in the NHL and going to the second round. So my point is to that is the fact that there obviously is there an ability there to play at a high level. And for the most part, why we have not seen it from this group, again, to start, what, the third season in a row in such a slow, methodical fashion, absolutely shocks me. I mean, it's really... I'm really amazed by it. I wish I could put my finger on it and tell, you know, even the Blues why this is going on. I don't know why, but you talk about this core group, Maddie, that has been around. Jim Montgomery's not going anywhere this time. And am I insinuating that Doug Armstrong's going to make trades? No. You know, there's a lot of rumors out there that maybe Army might be going out and trying to deal maybe some of these guys to shake things up. I think that's harder to do with the situation you have with some of the contracts that some of these quote-unquote core players. But, again, I go back to me, this team, I hope Braden Schenn and the leadership group bring everybody together and go, look, we can't have performances like we saw in Boston and we've seen in previous weeks with, you know, several different teams over this last, you know, what, 2+ months of the season. I was really pumped up for this season, and I still find hope just because there's so much parity in the league. But it has been, I'm just like a fan too, Maddie, and I don't know how you feel about this, but this truly has been very disappointing how this season has started out with this hockey team. And I'm still a believer that they're a lot better than what we've seen up to this point, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree with that. And they're not even buried in the standings. They're 4 points out of a playoff spot, yeah, which is crazy. Remarkable. The startling things for me, the two things is, some of the things we're hearing from Jim Montgomery, we heard from Drew Bannister, we heard from Craig Berube at the end of his tenure, so it's a lot more of the, just kind of the same thing. And then like a game like yesterday, that's Montgomery going back against his former team. And generally in situations like that, your team has that extra step as they want to get that win for their coach. Or if a player goes back and faces his former team, his teammates want to get that win for that player. And we didn't see that against Boston, and to me that's notable.
And it's a great point, Matt. I mean, an excellent point that you bring up. And to me, not only from that standpoint, but I think what you have seen from the standpoint of, even if you just look at last night's game, the just complete breakdowns from a defensive standpoint. Now, I'll say this, and I've said this on our air, I've said on CamoX, much less saying on FanDuel, is the fact that, you know, first month of the season was not good, whether it's Jordan Binnington or Joel Hofer. And I think those guys would be up front and say they were disappointed in their play. But they've turned things around. You even look at the numbers, and the numbers have been improving immensely for both of those guys, both individually, but as a team, goaltending aspect, save percentage way up, goals against way up. And just if you look at last night's game, there was at least three goals. And I'll just say at least three of those five goals by Boston, Binnington didn't have a chance. And the complete breakdowns of your defense. And it's not just, you know, guys in the blue line, but you can also point to that. But you also have to have guys in the forward line back checking and helping out. And as I always say, you have to have connectivity. You have to be connected. And the Blues just seem, for whatever reason, you didn't have that many changes over the offseason. You just haven't had that. You just doesn't, more nights than not, you just don't see a connection there with this hockey team. And you go to the second goal last night, I know it's been pointed out, I know Andy and Jamie pointed out on our postgame show last night, is the fact that you got two guys, two defensemen that are below the red line trying to check off one player, and he wins that puck battle, and that's hence why you wind up with the second goal eventually for the Boston Bruins. Well, these are not new guys. Pareko's been around forever. Broberg's around here for 2 years, and Broberg's probably arguably our best defenseman that we've had consistently so far early in the season. And it's just like, where's the communication? Where's the connection here? And that's just one of many examples that we can throw out there. So it's if you're against the goaltending here in the last month plus, I'm sorry, I have to defend the goaltending, and I have to say that it's the guys in front of them that have to make better plays. And even I know I was pointing out Matthew DeFrank, so I think is really doing a nice job covering the Blues for the Post-Dispatch. And Matthew pointed out in his story today that one of the goals started because one of our forwards didn't chip the puck all the way deep into the other end. And when they didn't get that deep puck, well, then you've got a team in transition like Boston, and then boom, next thing you know, puck's in the net. Well, these are the little things that can be, you know, magnified, and you have to magnify them when your team is losing like this. The other point, to get back to what you just said, I just thought about while we're talking here, Maddie, is the fact that you had Pasternak and McAvoy and Swayman, their number one goaltender, they weren't even on the ice last night. So that's another thing that just, you know, it kind of puts, unfortunately, more pain into Blues fans and I'm sure Blues management as well in the outcome of last night's game.
We're talking with Scott Warman, FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Let's jump over to the Cardinals for just a moment before we get you out of here. Winter meetings opening up Sunday, Monday is when things are going to get started in Orlando. We've already seen one big move made with Sonny Gray being traded. What are your expectations about what this offseason is going to continue to look like for the Cardinals, and how drastically do you want to see this team make these changes in an effort to bring in more young prospect talent?
Yeah, I think, Maddie, what you're seeing is just the tip of the iceberg for Chaim Bloom. Now, I think Chaim has been around the block, and so it's not like this is his first rodeo, so he knows a lot of people, so he's not going to get railroaded more than likely as far as the deal is concerned. But I expect, you know, as I mentioned with Amy and Chris, that I thought the Gray deal was probably the first domino to fall. And I would surmise you probably feel the same way.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is, you know, I know that a lot of people, and I love Brendan Donovan as well, but, you know, is Donnie want to be on a winning baseball team? And there's a lot of interest in Brendan Donovan. And what can you get? Can you get semi a haul for a guy like Brendan Donovan? Well, at this stage of where you're at, where you're basically in this rebuild, retool, I think that you definitely have to look at that. But I think the main focus and the top of conversation, I'm sure you've had this with Wheels and everybody else, Bernie, is the fact that, you know, Nolan Arenado's a guy that's sticking out there that, you know, is willing to expand his horizons to be dealt. I think the Cardinals want to deal him, but I think the biggest thing is that's going to be a more difficult trade for Chaim Bloom to make more than anything else. Sure, it's easy. Hey, let's make a trade, but there's a big financial situation there. And one surprise I had, Maddie, when I spoke to Chris and Amy about this, was the fact that the amount of money that the Cardinals also gave the Red Sox to make that move was opened my eyes. And I'm sure they're not dumb. They realize they're going to have to eat a lot of that Nolan Arenado contract in order for Nolan to move to another team. How much? I think that's going to be interesting. And I think anybody out there is, you know, reasonable has to realize that, unfortunately, Nolan, as great of a third baseman as he is, his offensive skills sadly have deteriorated. So you're not going to get a whole heck of a lot. Now, what that looks like, I don't know. But, and again, Chaim Bloom's been there. He realizes that. But I hope Cardinal fans, Matt, also realize that you're not going to get a heist for a guy like Nolan Arenado. A prospect or two is probably at best what you're going to get. But that to me is probably going to be the most difficult trade that the Cardinals are going to have to make, because the other thing, and I was just talking to somebody about this, they were asking me about J.J. Weatherholt, who I firmly believe will be with this team on opening day against Tampa at the end of March, is Weatherholt probably more than likely is a second baseman. So with that being said, that would also tell me, if that's the case, that, you know, Brendan Donovan would be a guy that you either have to put somewhere else or Matt, you have to deal him. And I think probably letting go of one of your great players, again, at this stage where this organization is at, is probably the smartest move for this team moving forward. Because as Chaim has mentioned to you, and I know he's mentioned to several different other outlets, is the fact that they want to try to get this thing fixed as quickly as possible. But it's still, we're talking 2-3 years down the line before you can be a formidable opponent, barring some unforeseen circumstances with this team.
You see Scott Warman on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest at the desk, Blues Cardinals broadcast. You hear him occasionally right here on KMOX, sometimes even hosting this show. Scott, we really appreciate you. If I don't talk to you before Christmas, have a Merry Christmas, and we'll see you very soon.
You too, Maddie. Thanks, bud.
That is Scott Warman joining us here on the program. We appreciate him taking a few moments with us. We'll take a break. We'll come back, wrap up hour number one of the program. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
Just a couple minutes left here in hour number one of the program. In hour number two, we'll hear some of what Jim Montgomery said to the media earlier today as they practiced on the road. We'll also hear from Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, his weekly conversation. Something happened today. I always like pause before I start talking about these things because I'm not the expert here. But John Hackworth, who had done a really nice job doing a lot of different things at City SC, it was announced today that he's leaving the organization, leaving the club, and he's going to go become the next head coach for the men's soccer team at the United States Naval Academy. First off, I love service academies. I worked at Air Force for a really long time. It's a very cool thing to be able to work at a service academy, and I'm excited for John Hackworth that he is going to be able to experience what it's like to work at a service academy. That being said, to me, that's a step down. That's a step back. I don't think that's a lateral move. I think that's a backwards move. And maybe he did not have anything guaranteed with City under Corey Ray, and basically had already been told that, and they gave him the opportunity to go pursue another job, so it didn't look like a situation where he was being let go. I don't know any of the inner workings, but I lament something. I lament the fact that after John Hackworth did an incredible job as the interim coach after Bradley Carnell was let go, that they did not hire him to the full-time role, and they went with Olaf Melberg instead. And then I lament a little bit, not quite as much, that they went with David Critchley over him when they had him the second opportunity. I think Critchley did a fine job. So I'm not quite as passionate on that one. But I would have loved to have seen where this organization would be sitting right now if Hackworth would have been given the opportunity instead of Olaf Melberg. I think he earned that opportunity, and they didn't give it to him. And then they don't give him the technical director job. I don't know if he was even interested in that. It'd be interesting to me if he could hop in the DeLorean and go back and make him the head coach instead of Olaf Melberg and see where things are right now. Maybe they'd be exactly the same. I don't know, but I'm sorry to see John Hackworth leave City SC for sure. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
Into our second hour, we've got a busy hour coming up. In about 10 minutes or so, we are going to hear from Blues coach Jim Montgomery, he met with the media earlier today. They're on the road. They went through a practice session earlier today, and we'll hear some of what he had to say following a tough loss last night against the Bruins. Just again, I'm so sick of hearing about energy and effort not being there for the Blues. And we talked about it on Rush Hour Sports. We talked about it with Scott Warman. It's exhausting. It is exhausting watching this team operate in a way where everybody knows what they should be doing and they're not doing it. And this group of individuals that have been brought together as a team, it's just not good. So we'll hear from Jim Montgomery coming up later on. We'll also hear from Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. We generally play that back for you on Friday night, where he talks with our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. Talking with Carrington Harrison about everything going on during the week. It's a huge game. Huge game for the Chiefs on Sunday. They are 500. They probably have to. You never really know because other things can happen with other teams. But in all likelihood, they're going to need to win out to get into the playoffs. And even them winning out, a lot of the teams that are right next to them, so they're 6-6 in the standings right now, a lot of those 6-7 win teams have all been winning recently. So that puts that much more pressure on the Chiefs to win some games, because if those other teams are winning, if some of those 7-win teams keep winning and they're not teams that are at the top of their divisions, well, then they're going to grab those wild cards in front of the Chiefs. So certainly nothing is guaranteed. Wanted to spend just a few minutes on this real quickly. And this hits a little bit close to home. For those of you who don't know, I've mentioned it a whole bunch of times. I am a proud graduate of Kansas State University. And K-State football just lost their coach, Chris Kleiman. He made the decision to retire. Now, excited about who they brought in. Colin Klein is was a K-State great, played quarterback and was a coach there, and most recently was the offensive coordinator at Texas A&M, and A&M's having a really fantastic season. So excited about what it's going to look like moving forward. And the St. Louis audience certainly does not care about me breaking down the coaching search and the decisions being made for K-State football. But this is something that happened there is something that's going to resonate. We don't have this college football thing figured out when it comes to the money that's being spent, the name, image, likeness, all these things. And it would be disingenuous to not put some of the blame on coaches, and it would also be wrong to not acknowledge the fact that for years and years and years and years and years, coaches were making millions of dollars and players were making absolutely nothing, and the players were the ones that were resulting in money being brought in. I am in favor. I'm very much in favor of college athletes getting some sort of compensation. They bring in money, therefore they should be able to get money. That's my take on that. But it's gone so unregulated. And then as rules get put in place, they get taken to many times that they're challenged in the legal proceedings, and then it just kind of opens up again. And the athletic director for Kansas State is a guy by the name of Gene Taylor. And he spoke to the media there, and he said, basically, we've got to figure out what we're doing in the world of college football, because more and more really good humans and really good individuals and really good talented coaches are going to walk away from the sport. So basically alluding to the fact that Chris Kleiman, who's a very good coach, is not coaching anymore because of where the industry has gone. Now, look, things always change. It doesn't have to be where the sport is right now to create change. And sometimes lesser changes are going to be something where a coach might say, I'm going to walk away from this. This isn't for me anymore. That's always anything that evolves is always good. There's going to be people who jump off the train as something evolves. It's just not for them anymore, but it's happening a little bit more right now. And one of the things that Gene Taylor said, and I don't want to get into the weeds too much here, but basically there's a house settlement that occurred, and that's going to help push a lot of the money to the student athletes through the actual athletic departments. If you've seen a lot of these name, image, likeness collectives, the NIL collectives, many of them are going away because they don't actually have a purpose anymore because everything is rolling through the actual school and the actual athletic department. And that's all kind of connected to the House settlement. Again, we don't have time to get into all the minutiae of everything that has happened. And to be perfectly honest with you, there's probably parts about it that I don't even completely know or completely understand. And it's something that I follow along with. It's a pretty complicated situation, to be sure. But one of the things that Taylor, the Kansas State Athletic Director, said was that there's a lot of schools that are not doing what was agreed upon within the House settlement, and basically said that all these schools across the country, especially in the power conferences, need to sign an agreement saying that they are all going to play by the same set of rules. Now, there's always going to be, and we talk about this with Missouri a lot, because when we were discussing Eli Drinkwitz potentially going somewhere else to coach, and credit to Coach Drinkwitz, he is remaining at Missouri. But when we spoke about Drinkwitz potentially going somewhere else, one of the things that we talked about a lot was what other place is going to give you a better opportunity to win a national title? And what better place is going to give you an opportunity to win more consistently? Yeah, Missouri might be a better football program right now than the University of Florida. They might be winning more games than the University of Florida. But I think if we're really being honest about things and we take a step back and we look at the ceilings as they are right now, and I would argue that Eli Drinkwitz has lifted the ceiling up. I think they've already surpassed what we thought they could surpass. And can he continue to lift the ceiling at Mizzou moving forward? Absolutely he can. But as we sit right now, even in a time where the Missouri football program is winning more games than Florida, I think if we're being real about things, you take a step back and you say that Florida has more potential, that Florida might be closer to a national title or give you a better chance to win a national title than you have at Florida. That's not to say that it's impossible to do at Missouri. It's just the path is going to be a little bit easier at other schools. So even if all these schools sign on the dotted line and actually follow through with what they say that they're going to do, and they all play by the same rules where it evens up the playing field a little bit, there's always simply going to be resources at some schools that other schools do not have. And I'm not trying to run away from that. But if you're not following the rules, if you're not following what was agreed upon, well, then at that point, it gets that much more wild and that much more crazy. And if you're a Chris Kleiman coaching in Manhattan, Kansas, of all places, it becomes that much more tough to be able to actually get players to come in. And you, even if, look, college football is a business. I'm not naive. College football is a business. But I also still believe in somewhat of the sanctity of college athletics. I still love the idea of the student athlete. Even if I'm in favor of them making money, I don't want it being completely professionalized. And that actually does bring us back to Missouri, because it was reported today, Eli Hoff wrote in the Post-Dispatch and STL Today about how the University of Georgia's athletic department has actually initiated legal proceedings against Missouri football player Damon Wilson. They are looking for just under $400,000 in damages related to his transfer between schools last winter. So evidently, he went to Georgia. He signed a term sheet for a 14-month contract to play at Georgia. A month later, he ended up transferring to Missouri. There are so many things here, because first off, I am of the belief that if you do make a commitment, you should stand up to your commitment. If he goes to Georgia and he has signed a 14-month commitment to stay at Georgia, well, then I would say honor your commitment and stay there, because it is a commitment. But then when we take one more step back beyond that, should these college football players actually be in a spot where you're signing basically contracts, where you're signing commitments to be at a place longer? And Mizzou has done multiple-year deals with these players. So it's really hard to pay players money, a lot of money, some six, seven figures money. It's really hard to pay them that money without locking them in to being somewhere for an extended amount of time. Where at the same time, if we're talking about college athletics, it feels like athletes should be able to have more freedom to go from one school to another. So maybe that's something else, that maybe there needs to be standardized rules here about what the financial implications are for players transferring out of a program. Because I really don't want to see them have their options limited in being able to transfer, even though I am of the belief that if you make a commitment to do something, and I realize I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth here, and that's where it's such a convoluted situation. And that's why I opened up talking about the thing going on at Kansas State, because there's nobody in charge. There's nobody in charge. And I know people have talked about having some sort of college football czar. People have floated Nick Saban's name for that. I don't think it's a terrible idea. I think standardizing rules across the power conferences makes sense. I talked about this last hour when I discussed the tiebreakers. Every conference creates their own tiebreaker for the top of the league and who's going to play in the conference championship game. So the ACC has these crazy sets of tiebreakers, and that has actually resulted in the ACC championship game matching up Duke against Virginia. What's notable about that is you don't have Miami. And Miami is a team that's right there at number 12. And if they go win if Miami's playing in the ACC championship game, sitting at that 12 spot, they might have an opportunity to play themselves into the college football playoff. Because right now, if you're not in the top 10 spots, you're probably not going to get in, because you don't have an ACC team that is there, that's in the top 12. I guess Miami's at 12, but now they're not going to win the conference championship because they're not in it, so there's going to be a decision to be made about who the ACC representative is going to be. And then there's got to be a group of five representative in there as well. So these teams, it's having a tiebreaker that doesn't involve the college football playoff rankings doesn't make sense. So if I was the czar of football, my rule would be first tiebreaker, head-to-head record. And if you want to, if there's like a three-way tie, if you want to do a three-way head-to-head type thing, that's fine. But once you get past that, you should be using the college football playoff rankings. That's what's best for the league. Miami should have an opportunity to play in the ACC championship to give themselves the better chance to get into a college football playoff. It's all connected. There's no leadership right now in college athletics. No rule that gets put in place is actually being enforced. You've got money being thrown around without people knowing the implications of that money being thrown around. You have really good people exiting the space because of they just don't want to deal with it anymore. It's not a great situation. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line. We'll hear from Jim Montgomery next here on KMOX. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. Then we are going to make way for a Gas House Gang replay, which comes up from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock tonight. Well, yesterday, unfortunately, seemingly more of the same from the St. Louis Blues. They go to Boston and lose by a 5-2 score. They're going to remain on the road playing at Ottawa tomorrow, and then they'll play at Montreal on Sunday before getting back home for a rematch against the Bruins on Tuesday. Let's listen into a little bit of what Jim Montgomery had to say today. The team went through a practice in Ottawa, and he was asked what were some of the things that they were focusing on in practice today.
We didn't think our angling was very good last night, so one improve upon our angling, want to improve upon our passing and our puck movement, puck support.
Stop me if you've heard this one before. The Blues have shuffled their lines. They did it again today. The lines look like this in practice. Robert Thomas centering Jake Neighbors and Pavel Buchnevich. Dalibor Dvorsky centering Jordan Kyrou and Dylan Holloway. Braden Schenn centering Pugh Suter and Nick Bjugstad. And then Oscar Sundqvist centering Matthew Joseph and Alexanteri Koskimäki. And Montgomery had a lot to say, because this is a very, we've seen it a lot. Like, I made the joke about stop me if you heard this one before. It's because it always happens. And it happens with a lot of coaches and a lot of teams when things are not going well. That is one of the first things that ends up happening, that a team is going to shuffle the lines a little bit. And Montgomery spoke for a while today about what he wants to see, how he tries to get a spark, how often he goes back to something that maybe worked previously. So he was asked, why change the lines again?
A spark. We switched them up during the game last night. Ended up going back to the same lines in the third period. Just trying to see what different thing looks like. Give maybe someone has another spark with somebody else and they get excited about, you know, the opportunity to play together.
Are there certain line combinations you found earlier on the season that you wanted to go back to at some point, like that you found it worked earlier, but maybe they would need to get a re-spark now?
I can't say that, you know, I feel that the Dvorsky, Buchnevich, Shen line had some chemistry for a couple of games, but it dissipated. I feel that that's kind of been the way for the whole year, and I think that's why we haven't won more than two games in a row, is because we haven't established any kind of regularity to the, when a line goes over the boards, you're like, oh, yeah, there's the Thomas line, oh, there's the Suter line, there's the Shen line, there's the, you know, Sundqvist line. I mean, maybe the line that was the most like that would have been the Sundqvist, Torpo, and Walker, or a combination of those three with Mojo.
Wait, is that a chicken and the egg thing a little bit when it comes to chemistry on a line, of amount of time it needs for develop, or if it wanes, can it come back? That kind of thing, or is it something you see automatically?
Yeah, it does come back. At times, like we've gone back to Shen, Holloway, Kyrou more than three times this year. And it hasn't been the same. Like, why that is, you know, it's just sometimes guys are in different mindsets, different attitudes. They're playing a little bit differently, and the chemistry's just off. Last year it was beautiful for us, you know, but that's a good example. And, you know, usually a combination of Thomas and Buchnevich and Neighbors, which we went back to today, has really generated a lot. And they were generating there right before Jakey got hurt, but it hasn't transpired, because that's what we did right away once it didn't work with Snuggerud, which Snuggerud, Thomas, and Buchnevich really worked last year too. Hasn't had that same pop, right?
The Blues have not been as good on the power play this year as they would like to be, and Montgomery also spent some time talking about that and what he specifically wants to see from his power play groups.
More of an attack mindset, not only power play, but 5-on-5, like offensively. I don't think we're attacking in the net enough off the rush and in the offensive zone.
You feel like you don't have enough guys at the net front in on the power play as well, or?
I think that's more of a problem 5-on-5. I think right now on the power play, we just don't have a lot of in-zone time to be able to establish that.
We have seen the debut of Alexanteri Koskimäki, and he is somebody who I know the Blues think highly of. Maybe he's here a little bit earlier than they would have liked him to be here, but injuries are what they are, and there's not much you can do about that. Montgomery talked through what he saw from Koskimäki in his debut.
I thought his attitude was awesome. I asked him today how the experience was, and, you know, a bright smile comes on his face, and his attitude was about what a great experience, a dream come true, you know. And like, sometimes we all forget, and I'm talking about us in the locker room, but I also think that when you're going through the mud like this season has been so far, I even think that it's hard for you guys to get out of the mud sometimes and see the bright spots. I'm not saying you don't, but I'm sure you, as I'm saying it, you're probably agreeing, like, yeah, it's hard to see the bright spot in a game last night, right? But he did. And that's where our mindsets need to go.
And then when it comes to young players overall, because this roster right now has a good number of young players on it, Montgomery spoke through what he's looking for from young players specifically during practice to be able to impress him.
By the pace they play with, by the, not the simple plays, but now they're hanging on to the puck and they're making a play that you're like, oh, that's his confidence really coming with the puck. And then just how competitive they are, taking away time and space from a vet that they, you know, a lot of times young players show a lot of respect to the vets, as they should, but when they're practicing to make their teammates better. So when they start practicing to make them better, that's when you start to see a difference in them.
And then finally, let's finish this off on a positive note, because again, it has not been great for the Blues, but remarkably, as much as they have struggled this year, with 25 points, they are still just 4 points out of a playoff spot. So we can keep saying all they got to do is go on some sort of hot streak and they'll be right there. That remains true. They haven't shown any indication that that's going to happen quite yet. But Montgomery did make the point that it has not been all negative for the Blues this year.
I was thinking team, because I think team. But, I mean, Broberg, I mean, wow. An elite player in the league, I mean, puts the team on his back as much as he can. That's been a wow factor for me. Like, if I'm looking at individuals, I'm always looking at the team, and I think the power play's been good at times. It hasn't been as good lately. The penalty kill's been really good lately. Five-on-five play, D-zone coverage was poor to start, got better, wasn't good last night. So there's a reason why we're 3 games below 500.
That is Jim Montgomery. Again, the Blues are going to match up against Ottawa tomorrow on the road, then play in Montreal on Sunday, and then they'll be back for a home game coming up on Tuesday when they match up against Boston. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to hear our weekly conversation courtesy of our sister station in Kansas City with Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs have a huge game coming up on Sunday when they match up against Houston. It feels like the Chiefs cannot afford to lose another game if they still want to be a playoff club this year. We'll hear from Patrick Mahomes coming up in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You are locked to a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on at KMOX. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs, they have lost 3 of their last 4 games. They last played on Thanksgiving Day, as you heard right here on KMOX, when they fell to the Cowboys by a 31-28 score. With that loss, it dropped their record to 6-6, and they're really in a spot now where they probably have to win out if they want to be a playoff club this year. The good news is they've got a bunch of games on the schedule that look very winnable. I would argue that they'll probably be favored in every single game that they play for the rest of the way, as long as they do keep winning. It starts with a game coming up on Sunday Night Football this week when they match up against Houston. You'll hear it here on KMOX. And with that, it is time for our weekly conversation with the Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, courtesy of our sister station 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, as Carrington Harrison, our colleague in Kansas City, sits down with the Chiefs quarterback every week. And as they opened up the conversation this week, they talked a little bit about the experience of not just playing on Thanksgiving Day, where everybody was watching the game against Dallas, but also an opportunity for Mahomes to play in his home state in front of a lot of friends and family, even though the game ended up as a loss against the Cowboys.
No, I mean, it was really cool. I mean, you kind of got that feel, kind of like a playoff game or another big game like that where everybody's watching and you have to go out there and play your best football. And so it was really cool for me. I have a lot of family and friends in attendance and going out there and getting to play on Thanksgiving.
What were your impressions of the Cowboys stadium?
It's awesome. You know, I got to play there in college a lot, and so I always had the dream of playing there in the NFL. So to be able to do that was really cool, and the fan base was awesome. There was a lot of Chiefs fans there, so it was cool to see the fan base travel to Dallas.
Man, absolutely. When they did the home of the Chiefs, that was loud. That's as loud as I've heard it. Is that as loud as you've heard it? Is there anywhere comparable to that?
I don't know for sure. I mean, sometimes we get out there to L.A. Sometimes there's a lot of Chiefs fans that take that trip as well, so but it definitely was loud. It was really cool to see. I mean, even seeing some Texas Tech jerseys as well. So it was cool to see that the my fans from everywhere were kind of out there in attendance.
Obviously, it's cool to play these kind of games. It's cool to play on Thanksgiving. There's an honor to play on Christmas Day. But you're also a family man. You're married. You have kids. How do you balance your job, your work responsibility, and also making that time for your family?
Yeah, I mean, I think first off, having a great wife, helps out a ton. And her being able to handle a lot of the other extracurricular stuff that I can't necessarily be there for, and getting the family all settled and everything like that. And then but the only thing good about playing on Thursday is you get the weekend off, and was able to get to spend Thanksgiving with my family and everybody like that. And so obviously don't get to do it on the actual day, but having a few extra days off where I can get away and be around family was definitely cool.
I don't know if you've seen the ratings yet for the game. They just came out. 57.2 million people watched Thursday's game. The audience peaked at 61.3 million. It is the most watched regular season game in NFL history. I thought the number was going to be big. I wasn't sure it was going to be this big. That's an incredible number.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it speaks to how much people love the NFL and love football. And We've been able to grow our fan base over these last few years, and obviously Dallas is a huge fan base as well. And so it's cool to see that the NFL is just continuing to break more and more records with these games.
Right now we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. I want to get a couple of college football questions in before we talk about you guys. Let's start with your Texas Tech Red Raiders, your alma mater. You guys are playing for the Big 12 championship game just a couple of weeks away from the college football playoff.
Yeah, no, it's extremely exciting. I mean, obviously, they've had this vision over these last few years of building the program, and Coach McGuire's done a great job of that. And then along with the NIL and everything like that, they've really taken advantage of the space that college football is in, and they've got a lot of great players in. But I think more than anything, they've built a great culture, and I think that's something that it's hard to really comprehend is the culture that they built there, and being able to bring players in through the portal or through recruiting, and then get them to believe in the brand and what they're building. It's special, and they've done a great job of getting themselves to the Big 12 championship, and I'm excited for them in the postseason journey.
I know you were spending time with family this weekend, but I'm sure you watched a little bit of college football, and you were tracking the top story. Lane Kiffin is now leaving Ole Miss and is going to be the head coach of LSU. What did you make of this, man? It was the biggest story in football for those 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's something the calendar is something that they got to work with in college football as far as transfers and the coaching hiring process and signing day and stuff like that. But I think it's awesome for him to be able to go to another journey and be able to keep rising in the ranks of college football. But at the same time, I feel bad for the kids, man. I mean, being able to be in the playoff run and losing your head coach, but you can't fault him, man. That's just kind of how the schedule works and how things go. And obviously a crazy story, but hopefully the kids can still go out there, live out their dreams, playing in the playoffs and stuff like that, and then everybody can kind of move forward in a positive way, and hopefully people learn from this, and we can move the schedule around so that this doesn't happen again.
Right now we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Let's transition to you guys. How would you describe the urgency that is in the building? I don't need to tell you about you guys' situation. Is it like a playoff-level intensity for you guys heading into this week?
I mean, it kind of has to be. I mean, knowing that this is such a pivotal game as far as not only trying to get back into winning football games, which we have to do, but also playing a team that's competing kind of for the same type of spot that you are to get into the playoffs. And so this is a great football team we're going up against, and we understand that. And I think guys are just coming in with the mindset of we got to play our best football. We got to play our best football, and there's kind of no other options other than that.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, going through some of the storylines right now with the team. What do you make of this AFC that we have so far? It feels like it's kind of turned upside down for a little bit. The teams that have historically been good, they're maybe not having the season, and there's a lot of new blood right now. This really feels like the parity that we always talk about on a year-by-year basis in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've seen with the coaches that have come into the AFC and the players and the quarterbacks. I mean, it's anybody can get hot at the right moment and go out there and win games. And some of these young quarterbacks are playing really good football and winning a lot of football games. And so but we're kind of all jumbled up there in the middle. And so I think it's just kind of who can get hot at the right time and try to make a run at it. And that's kind of how it usually is in the NFL.
There are some teams that are just common themes in your career. Buffalo, for example, Cincinnati for those few years. You know, some teams that you've seen a lot. I feel like you guys have played Houston a lot over the last 3-4 seasons. How much of it is an advantage in that way that you're playing a team that you are very familiar with this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, this is another team that's just that competes at a high level year in and year out, and they have a lot of great football players. And I think it's going to be an extremely, extremely challenging game because, I mean, it's going to be someone that they're going to come in with the right mindset, and they're going to come flying around, and we have to match that intensity and take it to another level. And so we've played them in a lot of these big games, and they've kind of been close, all of them. And so I think we just got to come with that mindset of we got to find a way to win no matter what it takes.
When you look at that Texans defense on film, what's the first thing that jumps out to you?
Yeah, I think it's just the speed they play with. You know, like everybody on their team, they come around, they fly around, and they try to make plays happen. And I think that's something that when you play with that effort, usually good things happen. And it starts everywhere. I mean, D-line, obviously, extremely talented. Linebackers, extremely talented. And DBs are extremely talented. And so they all play and fly around, and Coach Ryan's has them going. And so for us, we have to be able to match that intensity every single snap.
Football is definitely a next man up mentality. It looks like you guys are going to have some injuries on the offensive line heading into this one, which isn't ideal going up against a defensive line as difficult as the Texans. How do you guys game plan? How do you guys scheme to make up for some of the absences you're going to have on the O-line?
Yeah, I mean, you got to do a lot of different things. I mean, obviously, you got to be able to run the football. You got to be able to attack whenever there's chances to attack down the field, and then get the ball to my hands when I need to get the ball to my hands. I think the thing about going up against really good defenses, you have to be able to show that you can do everything. And that's something that we have to continue to get better and better at. But you give them the respect that they deserve, and then you go out there and you play within yourself, and you keep positive plays happening.
Right now, we're talking to Patrick Mahomes here for a couple more minutes. Coach Reed, a couple of days ago, talked about this team being close, mentioned that they are one or two plays away. You're the quarterback of the team. You're the leader of the team. What do you feel like you need to do in these pressurized situations to make those one or two extra plays to win on Sundays?
Yeah, you just got to execute at a higher level in some of these big moments. We are close, but at the end of the day, you got to go out there and make the plays happen. And so I think that's been the difference in this year and all our previous years, is we're not making those big plays in those big moments. And I've said it since the beginning, but at the end of the day, you got to go up there and make them. And that's something that we're going to try to do the rest of the season.
Are you guys looking at it like you still control your destiny? I know right now you guys are not in your usual position that you are in the division or in the standings, but if you look at this, if you guys run the table, you're back in the postseason and you'll be as hot and as dangerous as anybody.
Yeah, we just want to get in there, man. We just want to get into the playoffs, and in order to do that, we got to kind of win all the rest of our games. So we'll take it week by week, day by day. But at the end of the day, you just go out there and play your best football, try to win the rest of these games, get into the playoffs, and then if anybody's got the chance to go out there and win it.
Are you scoreboard watching at all? Are you keeping up with what else is happening in the AFC?
At this point, not really. I think if we just can kind of win up all of our games, the rest will kind of handle itself at this point. And so just trying to win football games, taking it, like I said, day by day, trying to be the best that we can be, and then win this week and then move on to the next week. And if we can win all our football games, we'll be in the playoffs. And then if we're in the playoffs, I can take us versus anybody.
I'll get you out of here with this one. What is the emphasis? What is the theme of the week? What are you guys really trying to prioritize heading into this matchup against the Houston Texans to get this thing back on track?
Yeah, more than anything, man, we're going to stay within ourselves, and we're going to go out there and play our football. And like I said, I believe that we can go out there and win any game at any moment, but we got to go out there and prove it. And so I'm excited for the chance to go out there and prove it this weekend.
That is the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today as they get ready for Sunday Night Football at Arrowhead against the Texans. Patrick, good luck this week, man. Catch up with you next week.
Yeah, appreciate you.
That is Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Again, it is the Chiefs and the Texans Sunday night, 7:20 kickoff, and we'll have full coverage right here on KMOX, your home for Chiefs football in St. Louis. One more break, we'll come back, and we'll wrap up this edition of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it on a Gray Bar Sports Open Line for just a few more moments here on KMOX. We are going to get out of here. We've got our Gas House Gang replay coming up in just a few moments. Quick programming note for you. I know that we have mentioned this to you a few times, but we are going to be doing the show from Orlando and from the baseball winter meetings coming up next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll all be live from the baseball winter meetings in Orlando. And then our first edition of the Countdown to Opening Day show, Mike Claiborne and myself will be coming your way from Orlando for the first edition of that program coming up on Thursday night. In addition to everything you'll hear here during these hours, I'll be on Rush Hour Sports from Orlando. I'll be doing hits throughout the day, whether it's with Chris and Amy or Glover, leaving reports for the morning show to be able to use during Tom's Sportscast. And if anything breaks, I'll be there to hop on right away and get thoughts. We did get confirmation. We are going to be talking with Heim Bloom on an every night basis on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So we'll get an idea of what's going on, what's being said, if there's much developments, and if any moves are being made. We'll get his comments, and we'll be able to bring those remarks to you on an everyday basis. So hopefully, you are able to. The goal every, and we've seen very slow winter meetings in the past where we say all these things about how important they're going to be and how it seems like there could be a lot of activity and then nothing ends up happening. We are hopeful that is not the case. And again, speaking of hope, I keep saying that, I keep using that word. The idea is that you can be locked into KMOX all next week and hear exclusive content from Orlando, from the baseball winter meetings, and hear from from Heim Bloom every day. And again, if something does end up breaking, we will break into programming no matter where we're at, and we'll break it all down for you. So looking forward to being able to do that. So I will travel out to Florida over the weekend, and when I'm back with you on Monday, I'll be coming your way from Orlando for the baseball winter meetings. And the idea is that it's going to be a very, very busy baseball winter meetings. We just need Heim Bloom and the Cardinals to go ahead and cooperate when it comes to that. Again, we've got our Gas House Gang replay. It's coming up in just a moment or so. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for being tuned in. This has been a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.